It's so good to be here. Yep, excellent. Hey, the year nines and ones who came up to Redcliffe, can we give me a wave? Hi, Rose, it's great to see you. Yep, awesome. Hey. It was so good to have you guys up staying there. We have that privilege every year of King's College comes up to do their year nine camp in Redcliffe. As a Redcliffe, we go, really? Anyway, it's a great experience, and the last 2 years we've had the honour of hosting them in our church, which has been great. So it's great to see you again. First off, before I start, I actually want to take a moment to honour your pastors. We know that they're there, we know that they're doing great things, but I want to ask you, do you pray for your pastors? If you're not, start doing it. And because I really encourage you, because they carry the calling on their life of coming to lead God's church. And they need as much prayer and as much encouragement as we are called to do so. So, and also, do you know, it's not just the pastors, but it's their spouses that carry a lot as well. And this is my heart, and I love to share this and to be able to, Donna, because I know in my pastoring, I couldn't do what I have done and still do if it wasn't for my husband, Bruce, who is the one that is my rock there, and the times that I come home and go, oh, and he is solid and sacrifices much for me to go out and do what I do. And so I just want to take a moment to pray for your senior pastor, for Tim, and for his wife, Elise, and also to pray for Pastor Prudy and her husband, Damien, as well, to be able to say, you know, for me, it's my gift to you guys to be able to pray for each one of you. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Pastor Tim and for Elise and for Pastor Prudy and for Damien. I thank you for their calling, because it's not just one, you call both. And Lord, I pray that you continue to give them wisdom and protection and life into the way of the direction that you have called them to rise. And Lord, that just to continue in the vision and the way of working together and the way of seeing your church grow and lives transformed for you, Jesus. Yes. And so, Lord, we also thank you for their families as well. And we pray protection around both families. And Lord, I just want to bless them abundantly. I pray blessing over both families today. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have called them and have called them to step forward in a boldness and courageous step. Yes. to honor and worship you and to lead your church that you have placed them for such a time as this. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. No. Thank you. It is, and I thank you for the lovely invitation to come here. As you hear that, I am a Camperdown girl, and so Warrnambool was always my place I was going to move to. I married an amazing man who does not like Warrnambool, so we're not. I know, a little harsh. I know. I'm sorry. He loves to come with me and visit Warrnambool, just like to say, visit. I'm going to get a word about that later. Alrighty. Sorry. But I love the opportunity of every time I get to come back here and I just a little bit about who I am. So I come from CCBT, Churches of Christ Vic Tas, and I have been working there as the church development consultant, whatever. It's a big title that really means church health and being able to support pastors, supporting growing churches, which is my main part that I work at, which your church is part of growing, supporting churches, which I get to meet with Tim in a cohort every second month. You had David Ratton here a few weeks ago, and so he is my colleague. We work in the team together. And so that is part of what I do. Also, the other part of what I do is that I love to be able to champion women pastors. So been meeting with them this week. We're actually meeting with the women pastors regionally here in Warrnambool, and so which is really exciting to be able to do that. Beforehand, as you hear that we live in Redcliffe, so working for Churches of Christ, my office is in South Melbourne, but I live in Redcliffe. 6 hours drive to the office. So I come down to Melbourne once a month, and so I was the pastor there at Redcliffe for 7 years, and finished up that at the beginning of last year, and to work with Churches of Christ, and my husband now is the pastor of Redcliffe Church of Christ. How bizarre is that? And so good. So so he's taken leave today, and here he is here with me, so which I'm so grateful. We have two children. We have a daughter. And I know I do not look old enough to have a 30-year-old daughter, but she's just turned 30 and I'm still getting my head around that more than anything else. She's a Gen pastor at Horsham Church of Christ, and she started there at the beginning of this year and is loving that. It's weird having her in my world when I send out emails to the female pastors and she returns. Dear Naomi, a.k.a. Mum, I will be attending. Thank you. Love that. And we have a son who lives in Melbourne who's a musician and a very talented one at that. So that is us, and that's my little bit of just sometimes, if you're like me, I like to know that little bit of detail about people. So I wanted to come and share that with you. But let's get into the Word of God. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Knowing that you've been... As you can see, I'm not blonde anymore. We really need to update that photo at CCBT. Look at that and I go, anyway, it's been a while. Ex-hairdresser, so I change my colours all the time. So it's very hard to keep updating them, I'm told. So I know you've been doing the series about David, and I'm really excited to have been given the series topic that I have, which is about friendship, and is one of the areas which I'm going to bring out about Jonathan and David. But you know, I was reflecting about as I was reading these scriptures about Jonathan and David and about their unique friendship. Mm. And I was reflecting about my friendships and the friendships that I have. You know, I was talking to a colleague a few weeks ago and talking about friendships, and he said, in the age bracket that we are in, and he said, my wife and I prayed a couple of years ago to say, we actually realised with our moving, and because things change in the friendship world of when you're kids and so forth and you move around a bit, they said, we actually prayed for friends for life now. Yep. And within a few months, they end up gathering some friends and having some amazing friendships that now they meet as a life group every week. They go away for weekends and these are their friends for life. And I was really quite... I'm challenged and inspired and encouraged by this conversation. So when I reflect on my friendships, and you've already heard that my bestie's in the room, and so, you know, that is my friend Anne, who we have been friends since we were 11, and been best friends, but that didn't just happen, that we didn't just meet and go, you're my bestie. It takes time to build friendships. And we have journeyed through life and had each other's back. We've laughed and cried together, and we have challenged each other and been able to be real with each other. And as we, you know, we gave our life to Christ on the same day, and that's pretty exciting. And in our time of marriage and children, that we've been able to support and champion each other on. And I am so grateful that God gave me this beautiful friend. And, you know, I don't get to see her often. She lives in Warrnambool. I live in Redcliffe, and I've lived in WA. I'm the one that moves around. She's the one who's stable. And I just, you know, I just check in. And, she loves Warrnambool. And so, you know, that didn't just come. Another friend, her name is Karen, and we became friends when I was 23. And we are still friends, but we had many hiccups in our friendship. And we had to push through and work through because we believed in our friendship. Amen. And I think that sometimes of when you know that you have friends that are friends for seasons and friends that are lifetime friends. Now, I'm sure as I'm talking friends, you're all thinking about who your friends are, who your people are that you've been friends for a long time, or ones you've had a seasonal that's made an impact in your life, ones that are now that you're growing in a new friendship. You may be right there in that space as you're thinking, as I'm talking about these friends. That though, this, you know, as I think about this friend Karen, like we had times when we actually didn't spend any time with each other for a few years, and then we reconnected, and we choose to be and have a great friendship, and we connect quite often. With me living up in Redcliffe's and changing from pastoring to travelling a lot, my friendship world changed in my community. And I'm I'm very much extrovert, not that you would have guessed that. And in that space that from going from pastoring, seeing people all the time, to when people not sure when I'm home, when I am, and forgetting that, you know, like, oh, I'd love to catch up with your coffee, but I guess you're never home, so they don't text, we don't contact. So it's become a very weird space for me. But God saw that and actually had a friend move to the area last year, and who I had known 20 years ago, and then come back to, and moved up there, like she's lived all around as well, and we just connected and became this, and has become this beautiful friend that I get to do coffees with and do life with when I'm at home, and get messages when I'm out traveling, you know, praying for you, hope everything's going well, and you know that was unexpected, totally unexpected, and this friend Heather has been a godsend for me. And so I reflect as I look at these different friendships and go, you know, God knows what we want when we need them and how we do that. And I've looked back at friendships that I've had the most amazing friends that I know that were seasonal and have left an impact that has defined who I am today. Yeah. And I've got friends that that has stayed the path in the sense that we just check in every now and again, but we just take off from where we last left off. Who's got those kind of friends?
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, I want us to take us into this space and let's look at Jonathan and David. And I've called this message the unexpected friendship. Because when you look at these two guys, it is like it is quite unexpected. And so let me just read some part of this to you in 1 Samuel 20. Starting from verse 1, but these are the verses I'm just going to pull out of a little bit, but let me just read a little bit of this. And then David fled from Naoth, at Ramah, and went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father? That is, trying to kill me." Now that's pretty intense, isn't it? Absolutely. "Never," Jonathan replied, "you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without letting me know. Why should he hide this from me? It isn't so. But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes." And he has said to himself, "Jonathan must not know this or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you." Now, there is so much in this scripture, in the whole chapter and a couple others, that we would be here all day. And I know you've all got things to do. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm just going to pull out some of these things. Now, let's look in this scripture where it actually talks about that, you know, David's a little bit frightened of Saul, the king. Now, let's think about this, that the king Saul... he also sees that he's got that there's an anointing on David. That David is that he's you know been out to battle. He's watched David be out to battle. We've watched him, and I know you've heard. I've seen little bits and pieces of also the you know messages of the last few weeks that what you've been talking about. And we know that story of the whole David and Goliath. Like you know that was like big hit. All of a sudden, big guy, big fan club. And, you know, we've gone from there and to where they've gone out to battle and Saul has, yep, killed thousands, but David is known for killing tens of thousands. So the insecurity of Saul is kicking in of like, hey, you know, like, I'm the king here, everybody. Come on. But David has just been humble and knowing that he is anointed and that he has been called. But he's like, why? Now, here's another twister in this. Not that it says this as much in here, but the twister is David married Saul's daughter. Yeah. Oh, he's the son-in-law. Why would you, like, you know, fathers aren't often wanting to kill their son-in-law as well. But he doesn't name David at any time as my son-in-law, doesn't name him as David. He always names him as son of Jesse. Because that also shows for him, it's more about Saul when he's saying this, that he's putting this onto David to actually go, see, he's just the son of a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
He's a nobody.
Yeah.
Well, actually, God sees that he's not a nobody, he's a somebody.
Amen.
And he's got a purpose and a calling in his life, just like any one of us. If any of you are thinking, but I'm also a nobody, you are not a nobody, because you are called and you have a purpose ready to go. And don't stand in that space and camp in it and think that that's what the wording is put on your life, because it's not. And so when, David in that space is like, he's not going to just be called son of Jesse. He knows what his calling is. But Jonathan, they have become good friends because of battle. Now here he is the son of a king, and they have made an oath under God to be able to say that we are friends and that we've made a commitment to each other. Back in chapter 18, it talks about where they change clothing in a sense, which just kind of seems a bit odd that you go, hey, I want to be your friend. Let me just give you some of my clothes. And I'll have, it's a bit like, Prince William as the king has gone, with the heir of the throne has gone out to someone in the street and said, we're good mates. Here, take my whole, uniform that I have and take that. He's not going to do that, is he? So it's in that cultural of that time. And so they've made this oath, and that's what we've read in this scripture in this part, that they took an oath. And Jonathan is going to look after David. He is going to be there and have his back all the way. You look at that and you go, David's been playing music in the courtyard. He's the musician. He's the shepherd boy. You wouldn't tend to put someone in David's arena with someone like Jonathan in Saul's arena.
Yeah.
But God doesn't look at what we do. He looks at who we are. And that's the difference. And so we sometimes think that, we wouldn't be good enough to be that person's friend. But God goes, but I chose them to be your friend. Step in.
Amen.
So, we need to actually take off what we sometimes carry about what friendship is and about who God has called us to be in that arena. You just look through that scripture, because I'm not going to keep reading the whole thing, but I really want to just to understand about who Jonathan is, who David is. As we look at the friendship that they have come and how that they have grown together, it reminds us so much of how do we do friendships? Mm. What does that look like? How do we honour one another? How do we love one another well and care deeply for one another? What does that look like? Now, here in this scripture, it continued on, and where we've seen that when that whole thing of that fear of David, of a little bit of like, why is your father trying to kill me? And then when Jonathan goes to protect him, and it talks about then of going when they're at the dinner, at the feast. And at the feast, then... David says, Jonathan says to David, go out into the field. And David says to Jonathan, tell your father that I've gone back to my hometown for a feast. But if he misses me and he gets angry, that means he's going to come and kill me. That's it in short. And so here is back in the day when he says, you go out, Jonathan says, you go out and hide. We'll wait and see what Dad says. And then if Dad says, yep, he's got a wrath about it and I'm going to kill you, then I will come out and I will shoot an arrow. And if it goes out to the left side, it's safe to come back. But it goes beyond. And if I shout out to the young boy that I'll bring with me, it's gone beyond, then that it's time for you to go. Mm. Now, in our day, in our time now, we just have our text, have our phone and text and go, run, Forrest, run. we would just have that difference of how they had to communicate. And so the feast happened and Saul first day thought, maybe he would just, did something that was a bit unclean and he wasn't able to turn up. And the next day he says to Jonathan, hey, where is David? And Jonathan says what he was told to say, that he's gone back to his family. And the wrath of Saul was that, no, he needed to be here. How dare you? And I will kill him. And to the extent that he even got his son and looked like he was going to kill him because he was so angry. And Jonathan knew that, yep, I've got to shoot that arrow beyond and he needs to get out of here. And so then he went out and he did that. And he shot the arrow out and he took a boy with him. The boy did not know. Boy came back with the arrow, and as he yelled out, "The arrow's gone beyond." Well, then that's when David knew that I'm not going back. And the young boy came back and brought back the arrows, and then gave his equipment. Jonathan gave the equipment to the young boy, and off he went back. David waited, and he came to Jonathan. And it talks in the scripture of where they met. They hung to each other. They wept and they cried because they knew that this was going to be the last. It says in 41 where it says, after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. And I think of that because he knew he was now on the run. And he had to go into hiding. But so thankful to his friend who has protected him. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left and Jonathan went back to town. That wasn't going to be a fun trip for either of them, was it? There's just, let me just pull out a couple of points here that I just want us to look at. And if you're a note taker, here they are. Real or true friendship requires true commitment. It's loyalty. There will be challenges, but it's having to be committed to each other. And what does that mean of commitment? When we commitment, sometimes actually also means we need to surrender some things too. Because we can have expectations in a friendship that actually sometimes is not healthy. Because we have expectations, the other has expectations, and then we wonder when we don't get our own way, we've got this clash, and then we don't sometimes don't, we haven't got the commitment and the maturity to actually say, "Hey, let's deal. Let's deal." And so it's that important of what is that commitment of that loyal to each other, and know that it's okay when there's challenges, but it's about how do you face those challenges. Mm. Now, David and Jonathan had that. You know, friendship, it's my next one, the friendship involves risk. Mm. It's willing to make sacrifices out of your comfort zone. Sometimes there's just times when you just know that you've got to lay down what you are doing and turn up and be present for your friend, for whatever they are going through. You know, I met with a friend a couple of days ago, beautiful friend of mine, and she was going through a really tough time this year that her sister at the age of 42 got diagnosed with stomach cancer, and within a couple of months she had passed away. And it had been quite a journey. The exciting thing is that her sister came to the Lord in that time and then wanted to meet everybody and had the opportunity to have all her friends saved as well. And I didn't do what I would normally do in my friendships to actually reach out. And I'm standing here in all transparency with you because I had no capacity. This year for me has been a really heavy, hard year. And I haven't had capacity to reach out to friends as I need. And when she sent me a message and she says, "It's been 6 weeks since I've told you about my sister. I haven't heard from you. That is not like you." Ouch. Yeah. Because it's not. And it reminded me right there that even when my capacity is not, sometimes we have to sacrifice that to step through. Yeah. And when I said to her, met with her the other day, and I said, which I've said this a couple of times to her, and now I think I'm done in my apologies. But I said, "I am so sorry, because you're right. When I don't have the capacity, I still should be able to step through. And I'm sorry that I did not carry you as a friend should." And her reply was, "That's okay, because I am your friend. I know you didn't have capacity and I want to support you. And we were able to work through and talk that, and we know that we both had people who came and filled that gap needed in that space to then where we're all good because we can have that raw conversation. And I appreciate that. And it's been a reminder, and this is why I think this challenge of me being, Tim sending me this as the topic, because it's a reminder to me about the importance of the sacrifice of friendships. But not that it's a sacrifice of it's a sacrifice of richness,
yeah,
of stepping in to there as well. Amen. So it is a risk. And friendships are a risk because we don't like being hurt. We don't like it when we do get hurt. And then there comes a fear if we've got a history of something that's happened, it triggers, and so we withdraw. When we step in, it's amazing of the blessings that God will show us. It sometimes even surprises us greatly. And we hear of things that we did not even know that person thought. Because I don't know about you, or this might be just me, but sometimes I have a dialogue that starts going in my head that actually wasn't even written anywhere, but I just start to believe that dialogue. So it's not till I talk it out with somebody, with that friend, or whoever that is, that I actually realise I had the wrong dialogue. I grabbed the wrong script. And I have to then go back to going, God, what is it that you actually are saying? What is your dialogue? And so in that is friendships include God. And as that, in that space, that it's been able to have the opportunity to pray for each other, you know, to be able to have a phone call from a friend going, hey, can you just pray for me right now? I just need you to pray for me on the phone, or this is what's going on, I'm needing a prayer. I have these most beautiful friendships that I have a prayer letter that goes out every month for what I do that I know I need to be covered in prayer. I could not do this if I didn't have prayer cover, because I know the enemy does not like it when I go to champion pastors. And to love on them and to see them just do so well, and that I want to do that. And the enemy doesn't want me to go and speak life into pastors.
Yeah.
And so I know I need to have prayer cover. So I sat and I asked God, who are people in my prayer team? And I have people from all around Australia that a prayer letter gets sent. I have a beautiful friend who just said, let me look after that. And she sends it out. I write it and she sends it. And she makes it all look really good as well, which is really nice. And it's all full of purple, because that's my colour. And it gets sent out. And often within a day or two, I get messages back from the friends who go, hey, thank you. Sorry that's been that for that month, or something, and just be praying for me and just reminding me. And every Tuesday, I pray for all those people that it's a partnership. It's not just them praying for me, it's a partnership. I pray for them every Tuesday. So each one that I send a letter to, every Tuesday they get prayed for. And it's about knowing that it's about encouraging one another, championing each other on. What does that look like? Even when we have friends that are not followers of Jesus, we still reflect Jesus in the way we champion them on. And sometimes we think we can't be friends with Christians, but we don't know what that influence will look like when we actually love people and love people well with the love of Jesus without actually mentioning Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the conversations that can come with that. So so it's that real understanding of that importance of knowing that God just wants to bless us as friends. He didn't call us to be silos. He didn't call us to do life alone. Back in Genesis, God says it's not good for man to be alone. We think that that's all because he created a woman. It's actually about not being alone. Because we need community. And in friendships reflects great love that goes beyond. It continues to be intentional about how do we do this. I just want to also show you just a little clip. And I don't know whether any of you watched the Big Bang Theory. I don't actually, but I did like this. Every now and again I watch it. But to this one.
Friends.
Sheldon, there is no algorithm for making friends.
Well, hear him out. If he's really onto something, we could open a booth at Comic-Con, make a fortune.
See, my initial approach to Kripke had the same deficiencies as those that plagued Stu the cockatoo when he was new at the zoo.
To the Cockatoo?
Yes. He's new at the zoo.
It's a terrific book. I've distilled its essence into a simple flow chart that will guide me through the process.
Have you thought about putting him in a crate while you're out of the apartment?
Hello, Kripke. Yeah, Sheldon Cooper here. It occurred to me that you hadn't returned any of my calls because I hadn't offered any concrete suggestions for pursuing our friendship. Yeah, perhaps the two of us might share a meal together. Yeah, I see. Well, then perhaps you'd have time for a hot beverage. Popular choices include tea, coffee, cocoa. I see. No, 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 wait, don't hang up yet. But what about a recreational activity? I bet we share some common interests. You tell me an interest of yours. Really? On actual horses? Tell me another interest of yours. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have no desire to get in the water till I absolutely have to. Tell me another interest of yours.
Uh-oh, he's stuck in an infinite loop.
I can fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, but isn't ventriloquism by definition a solo activity? Yeah. Wait, tell me another interest of yours. Is there any chance you like monkeys? Yeah, what is wrong with you? Everybody likes monkeys. Hang on, Kripke. A loop counter and an escape to the least objectionable activity. Howard, that's brilliant. I'm surprised you saw that.
Gee, why can't Sheldon make friends?
All right, Kripke, that last interest strikes me as the least objectionable, and I would like to propose that we do that together. Tomorrow. Yes, I'll pay. All right, goodbye. All right. Time to learn rock climbing.
But I did look at that and I think, you know, if we actually was very intentional about how do we make friends, how do we look for friends, how do we treat friends, what a major blessing that would be. And we would not be robbed by the people that God is actually wanting to put in our lives to make our lives richer, to continue to point us to Him. And as we looked in the whole story of Jonathan and David, now, you know, in that space, that David knew who he was. He knew that God loved him and that God anointed him. And they continued to share that bond and put that oath under God. And here in that sense that also we saw as I read that last part in chapter 20 of about, you know, the descendants. And about knowing that the Lord is the witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Now, David had remembered that a long time after. And let me just read just this part in 2 Samuel 9 that it says, you know, when David went back and by this stage, Jonathan had died, Saul had died, and the whole story in between. And he wanted to know that is no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Yeah. And it was answered, there is still one. There is a son of Jonathan. He's lame in both feet, it's written here. And so then David asked the servant to go and find Mephibosheth, who is the son of Jonathan, who had lame feet. And I think that's important to know, because the thing is a reminder of us that we all carry something that we actually can go, oh, why would we want to? Oh, no, that person's going to be hard work and friendship. All that, you know, comes back to what is our sacrifice and what do we surrender and how do we love well? And in here it says, in verse 7, don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you to all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. And this is my last one in that sense where it says, friendship shows kindness. Because he could have actually gone, whoa, you know, now this could be a bit of hard work with this. He's not going to be able to come out to battle with me. He's not going to come out and, you know, just hang. But he says, you are invited to my table.
Amen.
And you will always eat at my table. And the words that he has said, that the Mephibosheth said to him was like, but what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Which means no one's given me any time. They've shoved me in a corner with a servant that just looks at me occasionally. No one's ever even spoken my name. Like, he actually got called his own name. He wasn't even called a name. And so he heard his own name said from David, because David saw value because of the friendship he had with Jonathan, and he knew how to love well, and he said to him, come and eat at my table.
Yes.
You are not. And it was like in this scripture where a reminder that he will not talk over him of like, you are not a dead dog.
Yeah.
You're a man of a son of a great friend of mine.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I'm aware of time, and I start wrapping up, because I don't know where you guys are at, where each one of you are at. You might be feeling like, no one's noticed me. No one sees value in me. What have I got to offer? Well, you know what? You do not need to sit in a corner and stay on the sidelines at all anymore. Make this today your defining line to actually say, I am here, I have a purpose, God has called me, and who can I look out to be a friend to? Because Jesus came and died on the cross. We've just had communion. We heard of the reminder of about what he did and why he did it for each one of us. In this sense of when David came to Mephibosheth, that he said, that's always a bit of a bleh, isn't it? Anyway, could they just had names of John and Jack and Fred? It'd be great. Anyway, and so, you know, when it came, it was a reminder, come and sit at my table. You know, Jesus says that to each one of us every day. Come and sit at my table.
Yeah.
Come and sit at my table. Yes. Who are you inviting to your table today? Mm-hmm. Who are you inviting? There are so many times that I hear people say when they're in church, I need this. I want this. Why aren't I getting this? Mm-hmm. Or that, or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of going, what can I do to serve you, Lord? How can I be available today? Give me eyes to see what you want me to see.
Yes.
When I come and worship. In my week, who is it that you want me to see during the day?
Yeah.
Who do you want me to give a call? Who do you want me to text? Did you know that there is, since COVID, the pandemic, because of COVID is still around as we know, is over 54% that there has been an increase of loneliness for people in Australia. Relationships Australia have put out a survey in that, and one in every five feel lonely.
Yeah.
And we need to look at those stats to be reminded of what is under our nose and what's happening around. 28% of people experience social loneliness, 19.8% feel emotionally lonely. These are key findings of last year. And I think that, you know, friendships take time to build. And to get to a true friendship takes about 200 hours. Who knew that? And sometimes it's only 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes, you know, a few times a week, that it might be just texting, sending a meme or something and making connections, and to let it grow and be intentional on that. You know, when we come to Jesus, we don't just become best friends with Jesus straight away. We grow, we spend time with him every day. We look at his word, we pray, we worship, we connect with one another. So knowing that today, what is where you are at today? Today is a day to go, actually, I don't know Jesus. I've been coming here, but I haven't made that decision. But today is a day that you go, I want to know Jesus, and I want to make that decision to follow him. Or maybe today is a day going, you know what, I don't think I have been a great friend, and I want to do better, and I want to step forward to say, you know, I repent from the times that I haven't done well, and I want to be a better friend. Show me how to do that.
Yeah,
you know, I have a friend back at home that every day when she prays, she says, Lord, show me who I can see in the supermarket today. to Minnesota. And, you know, her life group has grown because she's gone out and every day she's met somebody and they've had conversations. She meets them with coffee. She goes there with her word, reads the word. And it's been so inspirational to watch her because she's been so intentional and she goes with her Holy Spirit eyes.
Amen.
Who is she going to see today? And I'm encouraged by that because I want to have the Holy Spirit eyes and not miss out on what God has right in front of me. Yeah. Let's be encouraged. Let's be inspired. And let's not just see it as a story between Jonathan and David. Let's see this as where we can respond to this.
Yeah.
Like for us to not go out of today going, oh yeah, that was fine. And then by 4 o'clock today going, I don't even remember that sermon.
Yeah.
Because that's the reality sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go out today going, I want to make a decision today of what friendship looks like with you first, Lord. And being committed to being a child of you, and also what does it look like for me to be a friend to somebody, to build on a friendship you already have, or to maybe you've been watching someone going, I'd really like to be friends with them. And then to actually take the courage, because friendship needs courage as well, to text or go or ring up and invite out for coffee, or invite them into your home if that's what you're comfortable in doing. We don't do homes near as much as we used to. We do coffee shops. And that's still okay. Maybe like Sheldon. A meal? No? Okay, well, coffee. We'll start with coffee. And that's okay. Because sometimes coffee is our safer place to start with because we're not committed for too long. We're starting small. But today I challenge you and I invite you. Where are you going to start today? What is the decision that you're making that's come out of this message, that God has stirred your heart today? Do you know what? It actually might be a friendship that you need to go and repent and say you're sorry. And maybe it actually starts with, sorry, Jesus, that I haven't spent the time with you to actually reflect you well in my relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just ask the worship team to come up, please. And in this, know that each one of you is important.
Yep.
Each one of you is valued. Whatever has happened before, of hurts that has come, that has experiences that has affected the way that you think about friendships, I want to cut that off today in Jesus' name, and that's not going to define you for who you are now and moving forward. Because what we carry makes a difference, and if we're carrying pain, we're carrying fear, and carrying things that's robbing us from all that we are created to be, then actually, where does Jesus win the victory? So I encourage you today, as we sing this great song of I Stand, we've already sang it this morning, and let's sing it with a different posture of coming forward and saying, I stand for Jesus. I stand for who he's called me to be. I am not going to allow words or dialogue that I've created that hasn't been created by anybody else that's coming, that I'm going to lay that down because I want the dialogue to know that I am worthy, I am valued, and I am loved by God.
Amen.
And that I have something to give and bless someone else. As in that response, then we get blessed and encouraged ourselves. So I encourage you. I would love, love, love to pray for you.
Yeah.
If anything, that's my biggest privilege that I love to be able to do. That's a gift that I don't take for granted. Knowing that there's a prayer team here that would love to pray for you as well. So through this, I encourage you, as we sing this song and led, that please come forward and let us pray for you. And now let me pray as we go into this time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word that reminds us about how we can be challenged from the story of David and Jonathan, of their friendship, the sacrifices that Jonathan made for his friendship, for the way that they made an oath and an honour to each other, that they will look after each other for generations and generations. And we see that wasn't robbed. It could have been easy for David to go, oh no, that looks too hard to look after Jonathan's son. But he said, no, I will love him because I made an oath and a promise, and I will love him and love him well and know he's always invited to the table. Lord, help us to see who are we inviting to the table and what is it that we may need to lie down today. That, Lord, I pray that you help us to repent and lay down and surrender what we need to and rise up to be the light that you have called us to be, to shine you and reflect you in our actions. And even if it's out of our comfort zone, give us the courage to step into that space. Lord, I thank you that you are our great God, that you love us so much that, that we're reminded again of Jesus, of what you did for us, because you invited us to sit at your table. Lord, help us to know that we are loved, that we are worthy of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.